Blake Snell, one out, runner on, bottom of the sixth inning. You got a 1-0 lead facing elimination in game six of the World Series. Would you have pulled Blake Snell in that moment before he was to face Mookie Betts a third time? And alternatively, if your response to that question is going to be, well, I might not have had a choice, would you work for an organization that would force you to pull Blake Snell in that situation despite how well he was pitching?
What do you mean I might not have a choice? Like, they wouldn't let me do it? I mean, the front offices wouldn't let you do it?
Well, exactly. I mean, you're all being replaced by tablets now. They're going to have tablets sitting on dugout benches.
Well, I don't think they could get to you fast enough, you know, to keep you from making that move if you really wanted to do it. You know what I mean? Maybe I might hit you down the road, but or after the game. Well, I guess, you know what? To be honest, I'm embarrassed to say I wasn't even watching the game, but, you know, I, a bunch of my friends texted me after and said, what are we doing, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, you're asking the wrong guy if you want to know the truth. But, to answer your question, would I have done it? I mean, what do you think I was, Scotty? You know, I mean, probably not. But, you know, it's tough. I don't like to criticize or second guess anybody else. I will say this. You know, it used to be if you did that, those kind of things, or that was your mentality or whatever, you'd never get a managing job or you'd get fired, right? But nowadays, if you don't do those things, you got no chance to get a job. So that's kind of the way it is. You know, the game's changed so much. But, you know, a lot of times, you know, you make those moves, things work out because that's just the way, you know, that's just the way it works sometimes. But things will get magnified, you know, in the World Series and things like that. It's kind of like ironic, you know, the Dodgers, you know, you look back at the Dodgers, you know, they've been to the World Series the past few years. And there were some things that in those games, you know, guys for the Dodgers, pitchers throw no hitters. They can't wait to yank them, and they yank them and all hell breaks loose. And, you know, and who knows, maybe that's a part of them not winning some too. So I don't know. It's a controversial subject, but, you know, it's kind of like all of baseball. When something works, it's great. You know, nobody says a word. When something doesn't work, I don't care what methodology you're using, you're gonna catch hell, you're gonna catch heat, and probably even rightfully so, I guess I could say, huh, Nate?
I agree with you. I mean, that's one thing that's getting lost. Talk about this a little bit. It's like just like the human element of like pushing guys. And you had a million times in your career where, like, you know, you bet on a guy in the right situation, given a ton of history and spending all the day in the clubhouse and all the time in the clubhouse with the guy. But that's the part that's getting out. Like, you look at a guy like what you did when we had John Birdie. Like, we got John Birdie called up, who never ever would have been called up in any analytical situation. And just for the fact he got a little bit of big league time, now he's hitting first and third on the Marlins, who shouldn't have made the playoffs this year, but they did. They totally overachieved. But, like, talk about, like, losing that human element to things and letting human beings decide, you know, who wins games and who doesn't sometimes.
Yeah, well, Lee, you know, you and I have talked about this many times. Scotty, we probably have too. But, yeah, you know, if these guys were robots and you were guaranteed an outcome, you know, it'd be easy, you know. Then you could say, well, this number says this. And, okay, that's a guaranteed outcome because they're robots or whatever. Okay, that's one thing. But like Leaf said, there's the human element, you know. Pressure affects guys, I think, some guys differently than others, you know. You know, they say baseball is a game of inches, balls a little bit further, you know, inch away, you make the play or whatever. And, you know, and physically they're beat up, you know, so there's, you know, maybe they can't get to a certain balls, but you need them on the field because they're a big hitter for you or something like that, you know. So there's so many variables that you can't really just lock it into a number says this. Yeah, numbers don't lie, and there's a lot of good that comes out of that. But, you know, the beauty of baseball is it's a game played by characters, you know, and different, you know, you can be big, you know, short, little, skinny, fat, you know, not anymore, but, you know, it's just, that's the beauty of baseball. Anybody could do it. And if you have skill and talent, and if some days you're good, some days you're bad, I don't care what the numbers say. But what I think's going to happen, and you're not going to see any really great feats in the game of baseball anymore, especially on the pitching end of it, because, you know, the way they dictate how you yank guys or leave men, you know, it's a no hitters, the great, you know, shutouts, all those things, complete games, you forget that. I mean, those will be lost because there's no opportunities to do them anymore. It used to be two pitchers. I think, you know, a lot of the pitchers nowadays, you know, have grown into this and learned to expect it. So you take them out, no big deal. But it used to be, these guys would fight you over it, man. You know, they'd MF you and whatever. But quick story. Yesterday I got a call. I was talking to Josh Donaldson, right? And it was funny. He goes, he made a comment. We were talking about, you know, what happened in that game. He said, yeah, he was saying, you know, that that was almost as bad as your move taking Dickie out down there in Texas with a 4 or 5 run lead.
We got a text about that to the text line earlier in the show, or it might have been a tweet. Ask Gibby about when he took Dickie out in Texas. That was the Snell move. Gibby was ahead of his time. I'm thinking that's probably a bit of a different circumstance. But
Snell and Dickie and knuckleball and power? Or what are you talking about?
Gibby, be honest. The knuckleball is your favorite pitch. It's your favorite pitch. You love the knuckleball. Come on.
Oh, I think it ought to be banned, you know. Banned. Actually, the knuckleball is the perfect pitch for analytics time because, you know, it kind of takes the manager and the pitching coach and the other coaches out of the equation because you can't really lock in on it because it comes and goes, and so you really can't have any strategy with it because you don't know what's going to happen. So, you know, you just go with numbers or whatever and say, well, so that's actually the perfect pitch, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and I mean, the number of times.
Early, man, early in the morning, I'm trying to clear the cobwebs.
Oh, that's all right. Just
hey, Scotty. When the Dickie move in Texas, I would sit down at the end of the bench, as far away from Gibby and the rest of the staff as possible to position the outfielders.
What do you have, gas or something?
Or,
oh, okay.
Or whatever.
You had a job to do. All right.
Yeah, allegedly. And when Gibby went out for that move, I was like, ooh, that's bold. He's going to have to answer a lot of questions for that one. So I was kind of just sitting on that far end. The perspective I got from that move was tremendous. It's a good move. Gibby is a great move. Because we won.
Yeah, right, because you won, you know. You know, anyway, how many times in the game of baseball, you know, you're playing high-powered teams, and down in Texas, the ball flies, well, like it does everywhere. You know, doesn't take long, man. The guy gets on, boom, you know, that knuckleball go a long way fast, you know. So let's keep Texas out of the game. The crowd's quiet. The real reason I did that anyway, or a large part of that, you guys all remember when Cecil went down, blew his calf, right?
Yep.
So now we had no lefty, and Loop's wife was having a baby, so he couldn't get to the park either. So David Price came to us and said, "Hey, you need somebody in the bullpen. I'd love to do it." But he said, "We thought about it. It's perfect." So the night before that, we got him up. I think it might have been. I'm not sure if it was game. Maybe it was Estrada's game. Anyway, he gets up. He's getting loose in the pen. Okay? You know, he started the earlier game, and, you know, it's the end of the year. He's got his 200-plus innings. So I told him, and he didn't get in, what have you. We got out of a jam and went on to win the game. So after the game, I went up to him and said, "Listen, all right, here's the deal. You know, you volunteered to do this. We appreciate that. If I get you up tomorrow, you're in the game. I don't care what the situation. Because you can't do that. You can't dry hump you like that. You know, I mean, it's terrible." So anyway, it was kind of in that moment of the game. Yeah, we had a 3-4 run lead, whatever it was. But just kind of know the game, and there's certain guys that, you know, that were really tough on Dickie, and they could hit the ball a long way. You know, so a lot of thoughts went in my head. Okay, so let's get Dave going, just in case. You know, they get a couple guys on. You know, you wait too long, boom, because we saw that knuckleball get out of hand real quick. So I got him up. So I told him I'm getting him up. He's going in this game. So. Actually, here's the spot. I think it was maybe for Chew or something. It was the first guy who brought him in. They went, you know, almost 3 innings, I think it was, and then we ended up winning the game, going on to game 5. So that was a huge factor in it as well. But plus, like I said, I saw that knuckleball go south in a hurry too many times to, you know. So, but maybe we were ahead of our times. You know how we hit, you know, with the analytics and things like that. Yeah. We hit. Batista leadoff. I mean, gosh, you know, they say we're anti-analytics. I mean, if anything, we were we were kind of the forefront of it, weren't we?
Well, I mean, that was after you decided to put Kevin Pillar and his 260 OBP in the leadoff spot for the first couple of weeks of the season. And then you were like, I can only imagine. And we got to move on from that quick.
You got talked into that Bautista one,
I'll
too.
Show you.
What's that?
Hey, Leap, I heard, man, you're like hygiene's out of control or something, man. You got long red hair now or something?
I haven't had a haircut since leaving spring training. So what did you say, Scotty? What did you say that I look like? Yeah, it's bad. It looks pretty bad.
He's got a lot of white coming in on the beard. I said, Gibby, he's probably 5-10 years off from being a mall Santa.
Is he in shape, though, man? Is he lean like he always is or what?
You know, the COVID's killing me. There's too much microbreweries and way too many steaks.
You know, he's hiding out in cottage country, in Muskoka. He's not a city guy anymore.
Leap deserves it, man. He's worked hard all his life. Now he's hunting, fishing, doing all that stuff. You know?
Yeah, it's good. How's the fishing down there too? It's like every day Justin Smoke always sends me pictures of these fish he catches. And I'm glad. Thank God, because there's nothing more annoying than people that send fishing photos, right, Scotty?
I got those from yesterday. I got some from yesterday from Smokey as well, and he said, "When are you coming fishing?" So, because I had said, I met this new girl. She's my fiance now, and she loves to fish. Right? We hired a guide, went down to the Gulf of Mexico in the bay, and caught some big redfish and some big trout. So she loves it. So I sent Smokey some pictures of what we caught. And then, so he fires these back and says, "When you come fish." I thought, I bet bring my gal down there. We may go fishing, So, yeah, it's kind of a good life, huh?
Jeez, well, I mean, now there are a lot of questions. I feel like I have questions about the Josh Donaldson phone call. I want to know where, if the wedding invites are in the mail or if this is going to be some kind of, like, Zoom wedding. So we'll all just, like, physically, socially distance here and watch you get married on online. Like, how's this all going to work?
Well, it's none of your business. And but maybe I want the donations. We could make it public. I don't know, whenever it happens.
Well, it was none of my business until you announced it on the radio, Gibby. I mean, now the whole city would attend. Be like bigger than the Raptors parade. All for you. All for you.
Make sure you invite me. I'll send you a virtual toaster.
Man, I miss you boys, man. Everybody, you guys doing good?
Yeah, we're hanging in. We're hanging in. You still employed by Atlanta, or what's your?
I think so. I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, if
I'm waiting. Heck, they got to the Final Four. There was, in all seriousness, there was a lot of layoffs because of the nature of the game now, and I know I survived that, and hopefully. Because I want to stay in the game. There's no doubt. Times are tough though. I got some buddies that have been cut loose, and it's a shame. It's sad, but that's kind of the reality of the world we live in.
Yeah, and some of the big franchises, like wealthy franchises, the Cubs, I think, laid off 100 people and all that. It's a grind.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's a grind.
Yeah, and let's all hope that it gets back to normal next year, and then. People start showing up again, or they're allowed to show up, and then, those people will be put back in, where they belong, rehired, things like that. Let's hope so.